Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Equipped is a conversation about multiplying gospel community and fueling spiritual growth. We have one clear goal, to equip leaders to multiply. We want to help people follow Jesus, make disciples, lead small groups, and plant churches. My name is Morgan Nowak.
And I'm Kate.
And we'll be leading you through today's conversation. Let's get equipped. All right, today we're going to be talking about global missions. So I know this is something we've actually talked about a few times on the podcast at this point, local missions, global missions, God's global heart, all these sorts of things. But it's something that's important that we see in God's word, and it's important to us here at Connection Church. And so we're going to keep talking about it. But specifically this morning, we're talking about it because Kate just got back from a mission trip, a short-term mission trip, like probably less than 48 hours ago. Yeah. So we want to talk to her while the memories are still fresh and her experiences are still very recent, and just hear about what happened, why she did it, what God's been doing in her heart since then. And then for my personal experience, I've been on a few mission trips as well. So we'll just kind of talk about how that went for us and those sorts of things. But to get us started, Kate, why don't you tell us about where you went, why you went, and kind of what y'all did there?
Yeah, so I went to Barahona in the Dominican Republic. We did something called Rice and Beans Ministry, which we partnered with a, a ministry in Barahona called Hispaniola Mountain Ministries, or HMM. And we did it through Connection College. We did rice and beans. And so we delivered rice and beans enough for a family of four to have one full meal, and just kind of told them, talked to them about their life, and then got to tell them a little bit about Jesus. And we went to schools and did, like, programs for them, told Bible stories to the children, like, put on a little play. We talked about, like, Zacchaeus and the tree and him going, Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house and the importance of, like, that story and just kind of all sorts of different little things with the kids. But mostly the main reason we were there was for Rice and Beans Ministry.
Yeah, that's great. So how long were y'all there?
We were there for 6 days, seven days, yeah.
So I'm curious, obviously, like on paper, one of the things y'all are doing is providing and meeting physical needs for the local people, you know, there in the Dominican Republic. But for you personally, when you started hearing about this trip and stuff, why did you want to go?
Well, I didn't go last year, which was like a big regret of mine, just because I've never been on a mission trip before. And I was supposed to go on one last year through another ministry, but it kind of fell through. And so by the time it fell through, they had already closed sign-ups and they had already had their team made and whatnot. So me and Rachel talked about it, and she was like, you have to go next year. And so I just signed up because we had talked about it last year. And I don't know, I think the season that I was in this time last year was really struggling with the idea of the fact that there were people out there that either didn't know who Jesus was at all and didn't even have the chance to accept him into their heart before they passed away, or they knew who Jesus was and still hadn't accepted Jesus into their heart, which is just like really hard to just juggle with, like the idea of them knowing what Jesus has done for them, but not accepting it, and then therefore they don't go to heaven, and like I will never see them in heaven. And that was loud. I just hit my microphone. But anyways, it was just kind of like a season of life that I was like, I don't understand this. And Rachel was just talking to me about it, and we were talking about like mission trips, and so she was like, you have to go next year because I think you'll really like be able to see what actually happens on mission trips and like the seeds planted. And so that's why I signed up.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it's not awesome to go through that, of course, for you, but those are great questions, I think, to struggle with, because I mean, we've talked about this before, like our God's not too small to bring those questions to him, mm-hmm. you know, and to talk mm-hmm. about it and to learn about it and to go to God's word in it and understand like what he has to say. There's a startling number that we had a missions interest meeting yesterday after church. And we talked about, it's estimated if you take like the global whatever number of people in the world, you take that into account, and then the percentage of Christians in the world, and you do some math, it's estimated that 70,000 people every single day are dying without ever having the opportunity to hear about who Jesus is and what he's done. And that should break your heart. 70,000 people around the world, that is a huge number every day leaving this earth that, I mean, might not be going to heaven, you know, and that's why we participate in short-term mission trips. That's why we send long-term missionaries, you know. It's just crazy to think about that. But we do get to join in these experiences to maybe make a difference, you know, maybe take that number down, down, down every single day, which, I mean, gosh, causes for celebration. But so what were kind of like the team dynamics on your trip? Like, I know obviously it was mostly college students, but statistically more females go than males. Mm-hmm. So what did some of that look like for y'all?
Yeah, we had 28 total, 5 guys, including Austin. So 4 college student guys. And then the rest were all girls. So 23 girls and 5 mm-hmm. guys. It was cool because it was a bigger team this year than they took last year. I think last year they took like 17 or 18, mm-hmm. Including Rachel and Austin. And so kind of going into it, I didn't really know a lot of people, but just because it was so big and there were like just people I've never, ever seen before in my life, which was cool to go on this trip with them, not knowing them. And then we were talking about it Friday night. Our, like, last group meeting we had just kind of, like, takeaways from the trip and stuff. And people, somebody said it's really cool that they came into this not really knowing a lot of people, but they're leaving, we're leaving, like, as one big family.
Hmm.
And so that's kind of been, like, our thing coming back. Like, we all just, like, joke with each other and we're like, hey, fam, like, aww, what's up, family? Like, and we have, like, a group chat and they're all talking in that, like, 24/7 and I don't know, it was really cool to watch as the week went on how much we grew together, as well as like grew just like individually.
Yeah.
And then also we're like able to bounce off of each other because we were growing together, which was cool.
Yeah. That's great. I think that mission trips, they do almost as much, maybe probably equally as much for the people on the ground, mm-hmm. wherever you're going, meeting physical needs and, of course, meeting spiritual needs as the team who actually goes, mm-hmm. you know, doing something in your heart by putting your yes on the table and getting on a plane most of the time and going to a different country and things like that. So thinking about, like, what it does in our hearts as we go, I can remember I was a little bit backwards because I was sold out on global missions before I ever went on my first trip, you know, so that was a little bit, you know, confusing for me. But I know when I did finally go on my first trip, I had a really hard time, you know, and coming back home and stuff. And I was just so happy to be home and so happy to be back, like, in a culture that I understood and with people that I understood and back in my house with my couch, you know, things like that. And I didn't understand, like, why I reacted that way. And the Lord taught me so much in my own heart through that, through experiencing different people and different culture and a different version of ministry that I was uncomfortable with, and just showing me that this too honors me, you know, and this too glorifies me. And I don't care that you're uncomfortable, you know, these are my people. And just really pushing me and growing me to see that, like, it looks different everywhere, and that's like part of the journey, you know, that's the whole point. So what kind of things did you learn through that experience for you, or maybe that you heard, like, you're talking about through other people on the team?
Yeah, it's weird because, like, so many people had told me, like, you're going to learn so much, like, not only about, like, culture, but you're going to learn about, like, yourself and your walk with God and stuff. And I was like, surely, like, I'll probably, like, impact the people there more than, like, it'll impact my walk with God, which was, like, not true. I think what you said, like, it kind of being almost equal is very true, which is a really cool experience because I just was, like, not expectant of the Lord to, like, reveal himself in the way that he did to us. Like, we had just, like, moments of just, like, being vulnerable with each other, which mm-hmm. I've never really had, like, a stranger just, like, be so vulnerable with me. And, like, people on our team, like, really opened up and like shared things that they are struggling with. And like, I don't know, it was really cool to watch people break the walls down, which I think is something that the Lord has really taught me, like to be more vulnerable, or like I should be more vulnerable. And so it was cool to watch that happen around me, because it encouraged me to also be vulnerable. And like people were like saying things that I was like, I literally was just praying about that. Or it was just weird, like the coincidences, which like there aren't any coincidences. This is what we talked about. There's no coincidences. There's only God incidences. And so it was just like cool to watch everything kind of unfold and just be taught about a different culture. And because I mean, I've been out of the country. I've been to the Bahamas on a cruise, but it's very different going as a tourist versus on a mission trip. It's a very humbling experience. I don't know. It's just, I feel like there's so much that I have like taken and brought it back here that I hope that I will like never forget. Because you know, like how you're always like, oh, I'll never complain about it being hot ever again because they don't have AC and it's hot there. But like we come back and then we're all of a sudden like complaining about it being hot. Yeah. And it's like, I just said that I was not going to do that anymore. So it's just like things like that that I hope that I won't forget. There's other like deeper things too, but yeah, so much
just yeah.
impact.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I would much rather that you experience that and say, man, God actually did work in my heart, you know, than the other way around.
Yeah.
But I think I'm a firm believer of, you know, and now I understand, I need to like preface this. I understand that not everyone is able to physically leave for various reasons. But if you can, you know, and if you have that opportunity, whether it's missions or not, like I firmly believe that if we stay in Georgia or stay in the United States our whole entire life and don't open ourselves to experience what the rest of the world has to offer, like we're missing out, you know, like the Lord has made that too. And there's even just geographically, you know, in the Bible, it says that, you know, for people who don't hear, even the rocks will cry out of God's glory, you know, and that there is a Lord that has created this universe. And there are versions of rocks, you know, mountains and things in different parts of the world that we'll never see here that proclaim God's glory, you know, like, oh my gosh, this is a silly example, but the Swiss Alps, right? You see pictures of the Swiss Alps, there's these huge, beautiful mountains, and you can't look at that and say that, like, there's not a creator of that. We don't have that here in Southeast Georgia. We have murky ponds, you know?
Flat ground.
Right. So that's a whole tangent for me, obviously, but it's so worth getting out and experiencing the rest of the world. And that's not even beginning to open the door of what the people are like in these places, you know? Just because we were born and raised in our culture does not mean it's the quote unquote right one. You know, I wouldn't say there's any culture that's the right one, other than a culture that excels in loving one another and being generous as family in Christ, you know? And we have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. We even in these countries where there's 0.01% Christians, they're still there a lot of the time, hidden underground and things like that. And they need us to come and to encourage them and support them and remind them that they're not alone. Because if we can feel lonely here, you know, in the United States, where we can go to church and where we can have a church family around us and go to small group and things like that, imagine if you couldn't, you know, like the amount of loneliness. So all you have is the Lord himself and his word, you know, and sometimes they don't have his word, you know, or they have to hide in darkness to read it and things like that. And so anyways, all of that to say, like, it just, we, not that mission trips are all about us, they certainly aren't, but we make a big difference by putting our availability out there to go and to meet the local church where it's at and support them and encourage them, which kind of brings us to talk about, like, okay, so if the mission trips are half about us but half about them where we're going, how do short-term mission trips, like, affect those on the ground? Because there's, you know, there's arguments out there that short-term mission trips do more harm than they do benefit. I don't agree with that, obviously. But what are some ways that you saw, Kate, your team affect the people on the ground by going and by giving them your time and your energy?
Yeah. I think I kind of got to see both sides of, like, planting the seed and not really seeing it, like, flourish and kind of being frustrated and like but why don't you understand? Or like, why didn't you accept Christ today? Because it's just like so plain and simple in my head. But, and then I saw people like accept Christ, which was cool. But so Monday was a really hard day for me just because we had a lot of hard conversations, like hearing the misconceptions about like who Jesus is and stuff. And, just kind of not seeing any like progress, which was really frustrating because at the end of the day, I was like, then why am I here if I'm not like seeing any progress? But I had a long conversation with Rachel that night, and we were talking about just how many groups will come after us and how they might hit the same houses. And because we planted that seed, like their life and their eternity will be changed sooner than later because another group will come in within like the next week or the next month or even the next year, and they'll finally be like, you know, maybe they're right. Like, I do just need to accept Jesus, and then I'll have him in my heart forever, and their eternity will literally forever be changed. And then I got to see on, so throughout the week, it was like Monday was a bad day, then Tuesday and Wednesday were just kind of like good days. Like, they weren't really bad, they weren't really good. And then, or they weren't like phenomenal. And then Thursday was our last day evangelizing, and we had six people in our my group who gave their life to the Lord, who we like encountered, which was really cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I got to see like the other side of, like, I'm sure there's somebody from a week ago or a month ago or years ago that had been to the same houses as us and had planted this seed and been frustrated and had like a Monday like I had. And it's cool that I got to see like the, just kind of the harvest from the seed, and watch them, you know, change their eternity forever and accept Jesus into their heart. So I don't know. I think I saw kind of both sides of the impact that it has. And I don't know, their culture there, like what you were talking about before, so different than America, like open door. They pull out six chairs for us, and they're like, sit, sit, and they'll stand the whole time. If they don't have enough chairs for themselves, they'll offer you their chairs and just stand the whole time or sit on the ground. And they'll tell you about their life story, and they want to talk to you, and you never feel like you're, like, interrupting them. Like, we had one lady one day. We didn't, like, talk to her, but she was in the shower when we came to her house. She heard us and got out of the shower and came to the door and was like, oh, like, I can finish later. And we were like, no, 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 like, go. You don't have to get dressed and, like, come to the door. Like, wow. we will come back later. And I don't know. They're just so eager to talk to you that it was almost like they want something greater. They want to hear about, like, what we had to say. And they wanted us to hear them, which was cool. Like, we got to hear a lot of their life stories and all the things. But, yeah. So I feel like I kind of saw both sides of like the seed being planted and then the, like, you know, the blossoming of the seed.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm so glad y'all got to experience that. I remember the frustration when I went to the DR of sharing the gospel with people and them saying, you know what, I understand and I believe it. And then you say, and do you want to give your life to this? And they're like, nope. And it's just like, why, you know? But it gets me fired up because, like, I remember being there, you know. I remember growing up and kind of what you were talking – oh, sorry, now I hit the microphone. I remember growing up and feeling like I had no hope, you know, and that just like this feeling of like there must be something more, you know. And unfortunately, I tried to fill those desires and things with whatever the world had to offer, you know, but that didn't work, you know. And for a long time, what felt like a long time, I got saved at 21, but what felt like a long time, I was just searching and eager for someone to tell me, you know, and I was like just begging the universe, you know. At that time, I didn't understand, you know, that there's a Lord, but like, this can't be it, you know. There has to be more than this. There has to be some way for us to love each other. There has to be, like, you know, some reason that we're here, something that's like this, all this pain and all this life, it has to be worth something, you know, and no one would tell me, you know. And that's in a country and in a state where there's a church on every other corner, where I could walk to any hotel, you know, pull a Bible out of the side drawer, walk to any bookstore and go buy a Bible, you know, and a huge population of evangelical Christians. And it took 21 years for someone to say, hey, do you know, like, has anyone told you, you know? And they hadn't. And I remember, like, just feeling so like gypped, you know, like, so they've been hiding this from me, you know, like, why didn't someone, this is great news, you know, they call it the good news. And I was seriously like, this is good news, you know, why didn't anyone tell me? And I just like get lost in thinking about like, man, what about people who feel just like me in countries where there is no one to tell them, you know, or these populations of hundreds of thousands, even sometimes millions, and the percentage of people that are there to tell them are so small, the chances that they're going to get told without someone else going, taking these short-term trips or considering long-term missions, I mean, the odds are stacked against them. The good news is our God is greater, you know, and he's bigger and he's stronger, and he is working in those places, and he's working in our church and other churches to send people to tell them, and I praise God for that, but it makes me want to get involved 100%, you know? I'm like, if God is doing it and God's working, what part can I play, you know? And that kind of leads us towards like the role to play in missions that's not physically going. You know, obviously Kate and I, we want to, you know, physically go when we can, but we can. We don't have children, you know, we don't have physical disabilities. You know, we're both in good situations where we can pack up and go if we want to, and that's not the case for everybody. So for people who can't physically go for one reason or another, what is something that you would consider them, or what is something you would encourage them to consider of how they can still participate?
I think financially giving or partnering with somebody in prayer, mm-hmm. About if you're not able to give financially, prayer would be my, I mean, obviously you should be praying for them regardless of like financial decisions and whatnot. But, I think those are like my biggest two, like financial and prayer partners are the most important in sending somebody, I think, other than like, you know, God. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think those would be my two things.
Yeah.
That I would like be like, you should really consider this. And then also like weigh the options of like, well, either if you're unable to go, that's a whole different story. But if you don't feel like comfortable going, well, that's a whole different conversation. We're not made to be comfortable. That's not why we're here. So just like really praying about the ability to go, the heart change to want to go, and just going.
Like, yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah. No, I love what you said about not being comfortable. You know, like that's kind of the whole point.
Yeah.
Right? That's like one of the biggest parts of short-term mission trips is like go and get uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and see what God's going to do with it. You know, it's better to be uncomfortable here to tell someone about eternity in heaven than for them to be uncomfortable in hell forever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you think about the odds that way, it really seems much more worth it, you know? And,
yeah.
And I would encourage you, if you're listening, just like you said, Kate, if you can go physically, even if there's some hardships of, oh man, I'd have to figure out what to do with the dog, you know, or whatever.
Do
like,
it.
Figure it out, you know?
You can do it.
Yeah.
I promise, like, if you're signing up for a mission trip, like, that was my, like, biggest thing. I was like, gosh, I don't know if I can raise $2,000. Like, that's a lot of money. Like, I don't know. And then I signed up. And I had no other option but to raise the $2,000. Mm-hmm. And I had people that I didn't even know who went on the page, I guess, and donated mm-hmm. to me, or people I barely knew that I didn't think would, and people who I was scared to ask, like, mm-hmm. donate. And I don't know. It's just weird how – not weird, but it's just, like, the Lord will provide a way to send you. Like, you will figure it out. Something will fall into place. Like, it will always work out because you're doing something for the Lord. So if you pray about it, that's why you have prayer partners. Like, if you are giving financially to somebody's mission trip, like praying with them or praying for them, and then if you can't give financially, praying for them to raise finances and find a place to board their dog, or like how they can take off days from work, or what X, Y, and Z, like all the different excuses people can have, there will be a way will be provided.
Yeah.
If you seek it.
Yeah.
And pray about it.
Yeah, for sure. I had a conversation just the other day with someone, and they were saying, you know, they were just full of fear and they kept saying, but God's done this, but God's done that. And all of these clear things that God was doing. And they were like, but I just don't have any confirmation. I was like, look around, you know, like if the Lord is making a way, at some point, you just got to step and trust that mm-hmm. there's going to be solid ground when you land, you know. And if it's not, if the Lord doesn't have that, you know, in plan for you, then you can trust that he's going to close those doors, right. you know. But so much of it is just trust, just start walking and just see what the Lord's going to do with it, you know. I mean, that's when you're going to see like, you know, some serious things happen. Yeah. I think, and see the God come through. And so anyways, we're just excited to see what the Lord's going to do in our church, you know, mm-hmm. and around the world. And my prayer right now for our church is that, you know, before Seth and I get ready to leave long-term, that there'd be another couple who is in the process to also go long-term, you yeah. know, and that means maybe one of you listening has T-minus 2 years or so. And so I'm praying that, and I would love for it to be one of you, but I'd love anyone that God brings our way. So that's it for today.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good day.
Bye.